Welcome back to the Chicago Tomahawk. I'm Mike. I got my line mate Matt with me. And today we're going to go over some Blackhawks news and some NHL news because the Blackhawks have not played since Monday. Man, it's kind of crazy that they do have some makeup games coming up. The makeup list has been released. I believe there's about, 9 or 11 games on there. I just saw it a little bit ago, so I wasn't going to, you know, put all the dates out there because I highly doubt that anybody who's listening is going to have a notepad ready, getting ready to write down these Blackhawks games. But they've got the makeup dates set that they're going to be doing. There's going to be a lot of hockey coming up. There hasn't been really much hockey for the Blackhawks this past week. They play tomorrow. And we'll get on with the news. So Seth Jones, Dylan Strome, and head athletic trainer Mike Gapski and head equipment manager Troy Parchman have been removed from the COVID-19 protocol. So it's going to be nice to get Seth Jones back. Dylan Strome, I think, has been playing pretty well recently. He's been, I think he's been more of a factor. He's actually been pretty good at the faceoff dot. And, you know, we can use him back because we could use a center. Word is that Dylan Strome has some interest from other teams, but the Blackhawks are thinking about keeping him, believe it or not, even though they've been trying to trade him and get him at a lower cap hit next season. But in order to do that, he has to hit, I believe, unrestricted free agent status for them to do that. Because if they don't, they have to tender him a qualifying offer, and his qualifying offer number would be $4.4 million, and there's no way anybody would pay for Dylan Strome at $4.4 million. So good to have Gapski back. I met him at a wedding one time. He's awesome. So yeah, it looks like we're getting, you know, everybody back from COVID-19 protocol. It's almost as if everybody's getting COVID just to kind of get it out of the way in a way. So we'll see how that goes. Hey, Matt, do you think that Seth Jones could have made a difference maybe the past couple games?
Yeah, absolutely. I think he, just the minutes that he plays, I think he's, what is he, average about 24 minutes a game. I think that would have helped in overtime against the Kraken. The way he plays, he's smooth and he can carry the puck up. He's good with the possession play. Actually, I believe Kirby Dach is the only current active roster guy still on COVID protocol, right?
Right. I believe that they were mentioning that he might come off tomorrow.
I hope so. I want to see him finally just take off, like just prove everybody wrong, because I don't know where you're at with this, but I think he might need some seasoning down in the A just to get some confidence. But hopefully he comes back strong, well-rested, and you know, just gets on a little point streak.
Yeah, I think that it's, you know, I don't know how he fared with COVID. You know, I would hope that, you know, he really didn't have to deal with any symptoms. But I think that it's a tall order to come back from COVID and play better than you did before you had it. I honestly agree with you 100%. I'd like to see him go down there to the AHL and spend maybe about 5 or 7 games down there to kind of just reset and then maybe bring him back up and see how it does. You know, we sent Kurashev down there and he's been a better player ever since he came back. And maybe that's what Kirby needs.
Yeah, I'm totally on board with that.
Jacob Galvis, Mike Hardman, Kale Morris, and Josiah Slavin have been reassigned to the AHL's IceHogs. But Kale Morris is actually back on the active roster now. They moved him to the taxi squad, and then they recently moved him back to the active roster. So I'm not sure what's going on there. Sources say that at the Daily Faceoff that the NHL will no longer test asymptomatic players and staff following the All-Star break, provided COVID-19 rates continue to decline around the league. Testing will only then be cross-border travel as required and if symptoms arise. Now, I'm sure that there's a lot of people that are pretty frustrated with, you know, the whole COVID-19 thing, because the narrative keeps on getting changed. You know, I believe in Britain, as of January 26th, they're going to stop doing mask mandates. And that's pretty incredible considering, you know, how rampant COVID's been going around. So it's like one of those things where, you know, it's almost as if a month ago, you know, they're almost talking about having another shutdown. And like now, you know, all of the, how do you say, the mandates are being withdrawn, and it's just kind of somewhat turning into a free for all. So it makes me wonder, is it because of the federal government in Canada and in the United States that's, you know, that's causing this, or is this more of a leak thing? We'll have to see where it goes. I mean, I'm sure that they're trying to toe the line with the league, you know, at the same time. But, you know, it's almost like it's a complete 180, and it's right before the All-Star game, you know, because we were talking about maybe they should cancel the All-Star game because it just seems like a COVID breeding ground. But, you know, it just seems that it's you know, maybe it's not money. As big of a deal anymore. Yeah, and money talks, man.
It's a big money maker for the NHL.
Money talks.
Yeah.
So
yep. Look at Canada, man. They're on their 28th shutdown, and I know a lot of the Canadians on Twitter that we engage with are just fed up with it, and they're ready to move on. So I think this is good. Don't test healthy people.
Yeah. Yeah, so we'll see how this, you know, how this develops, and keep it going. So Kendall Coyne has released her autobiography, Fast as Her, on Wednesday. I'm gonna pick that up. I'm gonna give it a read. As a matter of fact, I'm considering buying the book and giving it a review on the Tomahawk as a podcast. So. So we'll see how that goes. I think that she's a great player. She's an electric player. Just in seeing her skate is a sight to be seen, considering how small she is.
She lives a block away from my parents. Her parents do. She grew up in the same subdivision I did. And believe it or not, she used to skate around the subdivision every day, inline skate.
I'm sure she did.
She was unreal. She was really good. And I just remember, you know, driving to my practice and I'd see this girl skating. She was tiny at the time. And
she just still is.
Wow. She's going to be good. And sure enough, look at her career. She's been an amazing Olympian, and now she's with the Blackhawks. Good for her.
Yeah, yeah. I think that she's a class act. And I'll keep everybody updated on that book. So Ben Pope, he's a beat writer. What is it for the Sun-Times? I believe it's the Sun-Times. I just saw his article, his comment on Twitter, and he mentioned that it's not exactly mathematical likely that the Blackhawks make the postseason. And he said this to Marc-Andre Fleury. And then Fleury responded, "Thanks for the vote of confidence." Now, look, I think that, you know, us as a podcast, you know, we can get away with saying things about players, saying things about the team, some honest things that I don't think that you can really say if you're kind of, you know, if you're a beat writer.
Yeah.
And, insulting. You know, and it's, to be honest with you, it really is insulting because, you know, as a player, you need to buy into the idea that we're going to go out there, we're going to compete every single day, and we're going to give our all. And if you feel that, you know, that maybe, I don't know, if we're not going to make the playoffs, am I really going to give, you know, 110%, you know, type of a thing? You know, you don't want to have that kind of mentality. And you've got Ben Pope over here coming up mentioning that, hey, you know, mathematically you're not going to make it, you know.
So what? Should we just quit?
He should have said, well, mathematically, mathematically, the chances of me making the NHL were practically non-existent. And look at me now. I'm a three-time Stanley Cup champion, you know.
Yep.
Because typically, it's pretty hard to make the NHL, man. You're like the top 1% of the 1% of the 1% that make it. You know, so.
And he's 37 still playing, and he could get another deal the way he's playing. He's playing like a 25-year-old, in my opinion. After that Seattle game, it's like a goalie in his prime. This guy is supposed to be on the back nine, and he does not look like it at all.
Yeah, so I didn't really appreciate that comment, you know. And, you know, it's just another thing with the media, I think, somewhat being tone deaf.
Yeah,
and
agreed.
And Ben, you got to do better, man.
Yep. Sit up in the press box, eat your hot dogs, and just criticize athletes.
Slam on those hot dogs and drink your Michelob Ultra. So DeBrincat, Kane, and Taves. Now, these three players obviously are the big dogs, right? You know, DeBrincat is our star goal scorer. Kane is a legend for the team, and so is Taves. Won three cups between Kane and Taves. DeBrincat hasn't won one yet. When the calendar year flips to 2022, 2023, this summer, all three will be eligible for contract extensions. Now, DeBrincat's making six or six point two right now. Taves and Kaner, they're each making 10.5. They each have 1 year left on their deal. Okay. So I think it's pretty much a guarantee that DeBrincat is going to get an extension at a minimum of between 8 to 10 million. Kane is still playing at a high level. And Taves lost some form, but you know, he's had an illness and he's had to deal with that and come back from it. And trying to get back to an elite status, playing at an elite level is pretty difficult. But as of recently, he seems to be gaining some form and he's looking much, much better, the past few games. And I don't think that he's going to be the 30-goal scorer that he was at one time, but I think that he still has value. I think that a deal at around the 5 million range would be fair. 5 to 6 million, considering what he's done for this franchise, because this franchise was dead. And when him and Kaner came up, they completely revitalized it. You know, God knows how much money Rocky Wirtz has made off of these players. So I think a 5 to 6 million dollar deal for Taves, I think, is fair. When we get to the 7 million range, it's like, okay, we see what's going on here. Got it. But I don't think he's worth any more than that. Kane, on the other hand, I think that he's going to be one of those players that plays at an elite level until he retires, similar to Nicklas Lidström. When Nicklas Lidström retired, he was still one of the top defensemen in the league. And it wasn't even close. Like, he was still a phenomenal defenseman. But, you know, he retired. It was time. And I think Kaner's going to go the same way. Deal for Kane, if he takes a team-friendly deal, I think that we're looking at a $7.5 to $8 million, $8 million cap hit for him. Where are you at with Kane and Taves coming back? And what would you pay for them to come back on a new deal?
Well, Kane and Taves have both signed identical deals for two contracts.
Right.
I think the third one will be the same, quite honestly. I think I liked what you said about the $5 million, $6 million range. I could see that, but I think Kane being at a higher level could get Taves more money.
Yeah.
If you know what I mean.
Yeah.
I think, maybe a two-year deal. I don't think they should do any more than three.
Yeah.
I would do like a two years, $7 million for both. And if it's lower, that's even better for the team. And DeBrincat, I would lock up the maximum term you can do. I believe it's 8 if you're drafted by that team, which he was. I think I would give him 9 to 10 million.
Yeah.
Being the highest paid player on the team, second to Jones.
Right. Right. I think that he's worth it. You know, you made a really good point about the Kaner and Taves deals. I think that that's entirely possible. I was thinking about it from like an individual standpoint of, you know, what's Kaner worth, what's Taves worth. And especially since they've made their money, I think that, you know, that they would consider team friendly deals. There's a possibility that maybe Taves retires before Kaner does. So, you know, that's also, you know, something that could be taken into consideration. But yeah, I think, you know, them both getting a 2 to 3 year deal at $7 million. I'm completely fine with that. I'm good with it.
Yeah, that's not a big hit at all. The way the cap's going to go up, it's not like crippling like the 10 is.
Not at all. As a matter of fact, if they were to take deals like that, that frees up $6 million. We'll probably be getting $9 million from a raise in the cap hit, and freeing up some money from some other contracts. You know, they can put a pretty good team around those guys for I guess you could say, for the last hurrah.
Yeah, the next wave of young guys and
yeah.
their last years, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, being the old goats on the team. So does do you think, you know, the trade line's going to be coming up in about 2 months. Does Calvin DeHaan get moved? He's playing like a man who needs a contract. To be honest with you, the way that he's playing right now is the best that he's played as a Blackhawk. So do you think that he gets a good offer? I think that they should pull the trigger on it. If the Blackhawks get a good offer for Calvin DeHaan, I've got a love-hate relationship with the guy because of the way that he's played prior, and he's usually hurt. And this year, man, he's been playing very differently. He's got a $4.5 million cap hit, so that coming off the books would be nice to free up some space. If you add Dylan Strome to that, you know, that's $8 million right there of cap space. So actually, if you really think about it, Matt, if we were to drop DeHaan and Dylan Strome, we could go for possibly a top, you know, maybe a
free agent next year,
a first line center, or maybe another top D man.
Yeah, we could, or we could save that money and give it to DeBrincat, and it, you know, almost cancels out. What's he at now? $6 million. So
yeah, I think he's at 6.5. And to be honest with you, yeah. if we get the Taves and King contracts down to $3 million. We will actually be saving $3 million by giving, you know, that difference in money to DeBrincat. We would still be getting $3 million back. So in a way, we would have $8 million of cap space from DeHaan and Dylan Strome
and Flower too.
The money, yeah. I mean, so we'd have a lot of cap space left, man. Yeah. To make a couple moves. To be honest with you,
it's a great thing for a young team that's rebuilding. Right. Having cap space, yep.
Right. So would you move DeHaan?
Yes, I would. And the team that should target him is the team that I watched last night with the boys from the FHN, the Toronto Maple Leafs. They need a defenseman like DeHaan. But the only issue with them is, as we all know, the salary cap.
Right.
I don't know if the Hawks would, you know, eat some of the hit, or maybe the Leafs would throw us a pick for, you know, helping them out, but this is a team that needs a guy like DeHaan. They got two young defensemen that were just getting rolled by the Rangers yesterday. I mean, they were just going right through them. And I think DeHaan, you know, he's not flashy. He's not going to get points, but he's been solid. He's solid in his own end, and he's a veteran. And this is what a team like Toronto, I think, should go after.
You know, there's also a case that can be made that Edmonton can make a run for DeHaan because they need help on the back end as well.
Yeah, I've heard about four teams that are interested. I even heard that his former team was interested in him too, the Hurricanes. But I honestly wouldn't mess with that team right now, the way that they're playing. There's no reason to ruin any chemistry.
He'd slow them down.
Yeah.
So probably the biggest trade piece that we have is Marc-Andre Fleury. Colorado and Edmonton are teams to watch. Edmonton's goalie situation is dire, and Colorado could use someone with this experience. Since Derek King took over, it has helped the defense and helped Fleury tremendously. I don't think Fleury is the answer that a lot of teams are looking for, but I think that he could make a very big difference for these teams. So say, for instance, Colorado situation. I think that keeping Landeskog and letting Grubauer walk was a very big mistake because they haven't won with Landeskog in the 7 to 8 years that he's already been with the team, okay? Grubauer, and goalies are a premium in the NHL. You have a really good goalie, you know, it makes a really big difference. And they also had another player that is ready to be the captain of that team, and that's Nathan MacKinnon. So I think that they made a really big mistake with him. I don't think that Fleury will make a big difference for Colorado, but I think that he can help them probably get out of the first round. Edmonton, on the other hand, I don't think that even with Fleury's talent, he won't be able to stand on his head the way that Edmonton needs him to. Do you think that Edmonton, I mean, because they're not just a goalie away from being a contender. They need a goalie and they need an upgrade at defense.
and two lines.
Yeah.
Bottom six lines. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think Fleury, it's going to almost seem like, you know, he's like he's playing here if he goes to Edmonton. Obviously, they got McDavid and Draisaitl putting up amazing numbers, but like, look at what they're doing now. They're struggling big time because they're not, some games they're not going to score.
Right.
And it's teams are catching on to it. So that's asking a lot for your bottom six. That's not experienced, not that great. And then Fleury's getting older. That's a lot. It's almost like he would be playing here. Like, that's what he's going to have to do. He's going to have to steal a lot of games. Colorado, I disagree with you. I think that on that team with the skill up front, the pretty solid defense they have, I think it's almost like he's playing in Vegas again. And I think he can make a deep run with that team. And even though I'm picking St. Louis to come out of the Central, if Fleury did go to Colorado, it'd be very interesting. I'd have to reevaluate my prediction on that one then.
You know, I'm actually gonna, what I said about Edmonton, I'm gonna take it back, man. Here we go. There's no reason why Fleury would want to go to Edmonton. Because let's be realistic. You know, he would more than likely, you know, they're gonna ask him, would you be willing to go to Edmonton? And in his situation, you know, with his family and everything, he's not going to want to go there because he knows 100% he can't make a cup. If they asked him, can we trade you to Colorado? That would be a very different situation because
I think so too.
Because they're a solid team and they have a chance to go deep more than Edmonton does. If Colorado were to face Edmonton right now, they'd roll him over. If the Blues played Edmonton, they'd roll him over. So I think that even though that Edmonton has interest, I think that it's safe to say that Edmonton is not in the running for him.
That's why I don't think he's there yet. I mean,
right.
They're in panic mode right now.
Yeah, they are.
They need a guy like Fleury now.
Right. They needed a guy like him month and a half ago.
In the summer, we were all saying, why would you pay Zach Hyman? Why would you trade for Duncan Keith? Well, okay, he did fill in a hole at defense, but he still left the most important position vacant to a 39-year-old Mike Smith. And 39-year-old Mike Smith is way different than a 37-year-old Marc-Andre Fleury. And I know it's 2 years apart, but Marc-Andre Fleury, like I said, he's playing like a young guy in that he's still flexible as all hell. I know most Hawks fans that listen to us watch that Seattle game. He was making some unbelievable saves. I haven't seen Mike Smith do that ever, you know. So, I mean, I think it's a little too late for Edmonton on this one. But hey, Colorado could make the move for Fleury, but maybe they're comfortable with Kemper. I have Kemper on my fantasy team. He has not been good for me, and sure, he's going to get wins, but in the playoffs, I thought Grubauer, like you said last year, Grubauer was a difference maker for that team, and they let him walk. And I think that's going to come back and bite him. I really do.
Some sad news, something I've been thinking about today. Pat Foley has 20 games left calling for the Chicago Blackhawks. And you know what, man? As far back as I can remember, I mean, I've been listening to Pat Foley for 30 years. That's all that I've known, you know. And what the Blackhawks have done to get a new person, you know, in the booth calling games, man, I think has been, I think it's been terrible. You know, it seems like they're giving a tryout to a lot of people, and I'm not sold on Colby Cohen. I don't think that. I think that, like you mentioned before, he's a good in between the glass type of a guy.
Pierre McGuire type.
Type of a guy. I think that he fits in well there. I don't think that he fits well on TV, sitting there giving, intermission analysis. And I don't think that he's a good, color guy. So,
yeah, I agree with that. But the thing is with that, I think that is a position for a former Hawk. Not a former Boston Bruin or whatever he was. I mean, he's a very likable guy, but that's a position like a Patrick Sharp or a Jeremy Roenick, a Chelios type of guy, that guy that actually wore the Hawk sweater. That's what I think the Hawks should do. And you already know who I like for Pat Foley's replacement. And it is sad. Pat Foley has been the only voice I've ever known, except when they let him go in that short time span before Kanan Taves. I believe it was that Dan Kelly guy who was just, oof.
It was bad.
It was rough. But thank God for John Weideman. I mean, I had the radio on a lot, and he made that time better. But it was the right move to bring Foley back. It was classy of the Hawks to do. I mean, ridiculous at first with old man Bill. But Rocky did the right thing, got Pat back. And I know all good things have to come to an end. And I wish Foley the best, though. But for the last 20 games, I'm going to enjoy him as long as I can.
You know, it would almost make sense if they just promoted Weideman and Troy Murray. I mean, they knock it out of the park on radio, man. You know, I don't see why they don't see that, the value in that, and move them on to TV.
Well, I think that Weideman, maybe he prefers the radio.
I'm just speculating.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, I've never seen Weideman on TV or listened to him, but during those late playoff games that we had years ago, I would have WGN app on my phone and I'd listen to Weideman and Troy. Troy Murray's a great guy. I love him. Those guys, you're right. They're great. They do a great job calling a game.
So moving on, we're going to move on to some NHL news. Malcolm Subban is out for the season after having an upper body surgery. They didn't mention what the surgery was. They just said upper body surgery. I hope the guy is okay. You know, former Hawk, you don't like to see guys going down, you know?
Yeah.
Nick Foligno could return for the Bruins soon. He's got a lower body injury that he's been taking care of and should be back soon. I believe there was like a scrum. He was down on the ice and someone fell on his leg.
It's a shame. I really like that signing this year. I thought he fits the mold of a Boston Bruin or 100%. Somewhat of a Philadelphia Flyer, but I hope he gets back because I'm a fan of him. I thought he was really classy in Columbus, and I know they traded him to Toronto just to make a Stanley Cup run. We all know what happened. They got bounced out early. Yeah. But I was kind of rooting for him to get that championship, but it didn't happen.
Mark Stone enters COVID protocol for the Knights. You know, it's like...
this guy can't catch a break.
They can't, man. Yeah. He's having a rough season, you know, just trying to stay on the ice. It's incredible. You know, the Knights, you know, they have to do some voodoo with keeping a team out there, especially waiting on Jack Eichel. They say that he's possibly 1 to 2 months away still.
And the owner says he's coming back sooner.
Right, right. You know, so and we mentioned that on the last podcast that he mentioned that he was going to be back soon. And they mentioned recently that it could be 1 to 2 months. So
do you think the GM was like, the owner's Foley, right? He's probably calling, Foley, can you just please shut up?
Yeah.
We want to bring him back for the playoffs so the cap hit doesn't count and we don't have to trade anybody. Right. Shut up, please. Yeah. But thank you for the paychecks.
Yeah, no kidding, man. Talk about blowing it for the squad, you know?
Yeah, sometimes you just got to zip it.
So the Blues are going to have retired Chris Pronger's number. Pretty interesting. You know, Chris Pronger was a mainstay in Anaheim, the Blues. And the Flyers, man. You know, he could probably have his numbers retired everywhere he went.
Yeah, he had a good run in Edmonton, too. I don't know if you remember that.
Yeah, yeah, he did.
He made it to the final that year against the Hurricanes.
Right.
And they had a goalie get injured. I think it was Dwayne Rolison. He was on fire that year. Mm. And he got hurt in game one, and that was it for the Oilers.
Jeez. So what's your feelings on every team sending a player to the All-Star game?
I really don't care. I think it's good for the fan basis that, you know, they have one representative, but as far as McKinnon going nuts about Kadri not making it, I think, to be honest, I think Kadri should have made it before McKinnon. McKinnon hasn't been scoring. I know he puts up good points and everything, but if he's going to complain and whine that everybody on his team didn't make the All-Star team, he's the one who should be sitting because I think that, like I said before, Kadri has been better than him. And obviously Cale Makar is, you know, he's a stud. He's going to be a good defenseman for many years. But, you know, you got guys kind of ripping on DeBrincat, like, oh, DeBrincat? I'm like, yeah, DeBrincat. Look at his goals. He's top, I believe, 6 or 7 now in goals. And he's only 24 years old. He's scored 40 goals before. He's definitely an all-star, but I think Kaner got shafted. He's still, got 30 points in 30 games or whatever it is, 35. I'm off a little bit, but it's not an all-star game without Kaner.
Yeah, DeBrincat, I think he's got like 54 goals in the past 82 games or something like that.
Yeah, he's right up there with Austin Matthews.
Right.
So, he's guys, definitely...
He's definitely deserving.
Oh, yeah, he's definitely an all-star. Seth Jones, I think, is an all-star, but obviously the way they're doing it with these divisions, I don't like it. I just like the East versus the West. That was always... Then the jerseys were cool back in the day. I used to have a Western Conference All-Star jersey, and it was awesome. I like that way. I don't know why they have to change so much stuff like this. Maybe they should have like a 3-on-3 tournament during the skills competition type of thing, and then just have the All-Star game. Bring it. Just go back. Stop changing everything.
Yeah, I think that they're trying to make it more interesting, trying to get more interest into the game because... You know, there isn't really much going on in the game.
No,
you know?
These games
are like, 17 to 15.
Well, I remember being a young kid, man. I would just watch the skills contest. I wanted to see who the fastest skater was. I wanted to see Brett Hall go 4-for-4 with the targets. And then obviously Al McGinnis crank a 104-mile-an-hour slap shot.
Oh, man. So, what are your thoughts on Leon Draisaitl and the Edmonton Oilers calling him pissy?
Oh, the reporter. Yes. I keep seeing the tweet like saying that this is a Hall of Fame reporter.
Yeah.
Like what? Who's in that Hall of Fame? Morons? Like really? Like you're asking? He really asks stupid questions. I've watched other videos with him. He asked Koskinen, the goalie who's not been playing well.
Right.
That I believe he said, "Hey, Mikko, were you disappointed in hearing rumors about getting another goalie? Like, are you really gonna ask the guy that?
Wow.
That's like insulting. Like,
yeah, it is.
Well, what do you want me to say? No, I'm happy to have another goalie to have competition with. Like, it's just some of these questions, man. They have to just think before they ask them. Like, and majority of the times they know the answers. Like what we said with Ben Pope earlier, like, you're really going to say that to a pro? That's almost like a reporter calling a player soft.
Yeah.
That's like one of the like most insulting things you could say to a player, especially when your job is to just write a news article about what's going on with these guys. And I thought Leon Draisaitl was fine. I thought he handled it well, actually. He's like, yep, whatever. Okay, next question, and I'm not pissy. And I think Jacob Voracek, too, actually got into an argument with a guy in Philly. I think it was last year. He did. And he's like, are you kidding me right now? Like, just the questions. And I don't know what these guys think. Like, they're like gods or something. They like making the stories about themselves.
He's like, you're
going to
write whatever you're going to write. You're going to write some bullshit on whatever you want to write. And so it doesn't matter what I say. I think that's what Voracek said.
Yeah. It's like Brooksy in New York. And the only guy to call him out on his shit was Tortorella, and that's why I love Torts. Don't put up with that. And Torts would defend his players all the time, saying, "Hey, I saw that story that you wrote about this guy. This guy had a great game, and you somehow had to insert in being insultive to it. Like, why? He had a great game, and why are you doing stuff like? Oh, I thought it was funny. Well, okay, Brooksy, go to the bus stop and get beat up again. So
there's an inconsistency with kicking motion goal calls that the NHL needs to solve this issue. What do you think needs to be done about like the kicking motion goal calls, Matt?
So did you see the Austin Matthews kicking motion goal disallowed yesterday?
No.
So Matthews was in front of the net and he was standing still. And I don't know who fired the puck right to the front, but Matthews turned his heel, and if he did not do that, that puck was going straight into the boards on the other side. So, yes, I think the NHL made the right call with that, but then you can see another clip. I don't have the clip in front of me, but it's almost the same type of goal, but I think the player was in motion. Matthews was standing still, but they called this goal. It was almost in the same spot. It's almost like the guy was crashing the net, while stopping, the puck hit his skate while his heel was turned. But this was a good goal. So I think the NHL needs to address this and explain why goals are goals and no goals are no goals, because people are like, I mean, that I know the game was out of reach for the Leafs, but they were down by two already. But I mean, they were down one with about 45 seconds. Anything could happen, I guess. You never know. But
sure.
I think that they need to do a better job addressing this and explain the rules better, because I mean, I'm going to go back a little bit to the Hawks game, that Kurashev. Remember that Kurashev goal where he was skating and the net got knocked off? And he was, to me, he was offsides. I'm not sure why that counted. They said because he was in motion and he had possession of the puck, which still doesn't make sense to me, because in youth hockey, we don't have that, you know, or even any hockey, you don't have replays to go back to. If your body is in, you know, if you're crossing the blue line before the puck, that's offside. So
right.
I think the NHL's got some work to do.
Oh, but his back leg was still on the blue line, you know.
I don't know, man.
No. I'm just saying, like, that's typically, like, what happens.
It's just so fast, too. It's hard to call it real time.
Yeah.
But I think the NHL has to do a better job with, especially both of these subjects. The kicking motions, they're happening a lot lately. A lot of these goals are, and obviously, if you're facing the other way and the puck hits your skate and it goes in, yeah, I mean, you there's no kicking motion. You're not trying to score. You're just kind of in the way and hoping for a lucky bounce. But I mean, if you're calling almost two of the same goals, no goal and goal, you have to, you got to explain it in the rules better, because it's almost like they're just, you know, just saying, okay, eeny, meeny, miny, mo, it's a goal, you know, so Toronto. So I'd like to see the NHL address this.
So Bo Byram is stepping away from the game for personal issues. Has there been any mention as to, you know, what's going on?
Yes, I believe he's having some severe concussion issues.
Oh,
and,
man.
Yeah. And I know that his father, I believe, talked to the media saying that he says he's unable to play with this condition. It's just, it's almost, it's bad, I guess. It's not good for Bo. So I hope he gets better and takes the time he needs.
Yeah, these are the type of things where, you know, the player's health comes up number one, you know, and hopefully, you know, Sidney Crosby, for practically, it was almost a season, he was sitting in a dark room, you know, just waiting for his concussion issues to resolve. And I would like to say that I think that the Penguins were a model organization for how they approached Sidney Crosby's health. And how they were able to get him back playing, because ever since then, you know, he had a lot of success after that. And I think that it's good that teams can let a guy just walk away, because maybe, you know, maybe you don't need to go to the rink, you know, maybe you just need to do your medical mandated, you know, therapy, you know, sit in a dark room or whatever that they have to do for, you know, for concussions. But I hope that the guy's all right.
Yeah, he's young too. He should, you know, be really cautious. Take the time that you need. It's not like you're on the last year of your career where you're you know, going for a cup. He's young. He's got a long career ahead of him. We know how he is. I wish, you know, now I wish the Hawks would have taking a chance with this guy over Doc. And I like Kirby Doc, but I think our needs on defense are greater right now. But I hope that he, you know, takes the time and gets better and hopefully comes back maybe in the playoffs.
Yeah. Yeah. So we'll keep him in our thoughts, you know, and hopefully that he's able to come back to the game. And if not, then, you know, then he doesn't, you know, there's other things for him to do. You know, you don't have to play hockey, you know, but it's just unfortunate that you don't get to, you know, put your talent out there for everybody to see. So that's all that we got for everybody tonight. I'd like to thank everybody for listening. You know, me and Matt, we're on Twitter. We're talking to people. Do us a favor, send us a message if you want us to talk about anything, that want us to cover something more, or you want to hear something more. send us a message. Or, you know, maybe if you don't like what you're hearing, maybe you could just, you know, send us a message and tell us to fuck off or something, you know, because that's cool too.
Like Piercy.
Yeah, come and chirp us, you know, that's always a lot of fun. So do us a favor if you haven't. Hit subscribe in the in your podcast app, and we'll see you guys on the next podcast. This is the Tomahawk, and we're out of here.